we're getting a bit short on wire here, I think. God bless you, brothers and sisters. A little song I'd like to sing for you this week. It's called Wherever He Leads, I'll Go. I don't know if you've heard it. If you know the words and the chorus, please join in. I think it's in the Chord of C, Brother George. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loved me so. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Take up the cross and follow me. I heard my Master say, I gave my life to ransom thee. Surrender all today. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loved me so. Wherever He leads, I'll go. He drew me closer to His side. I sought His will to know. And in His will I now abide. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loved me so. Wherever He leads, I'll go. My heart, my life, my all I bring to Christ who loved me so. He is my Master, Lord, and King. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loved me so. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. God bless.
Amen. There was one last request. It just came. I hope Brother Will notified the pastor. I always have time, as long as the pastor knows. Sister Deirdre, you want to come sing, Sister Deirdre, yeah? Okay. Amen.
This was a lovely little song that we find Ray Bolt singing. But in it, Ray Bolt has sung A Child, but just took the message of the hour with the revelation that the prophet brought. I'm going to sing My Child.
there when you drew the breath of life. And I heard your voice the first time that you cried. Even though hearing I was always there, now there's something that I want you to hear. You will always be a child in my eyes. When you need the love, my arms are open wide. And even when you're growing old, I hope you realize
you will always be a child in my eyes.
I was there the first time that you prayed, and I heard all the promises you made. When you fell before me, crying, Father, I have sinned, I picked you up and held you close again.
You will always be a child in my eyes.
When you need the love, my arms are open wide. When you need the love, I hope you realize
you will always be a child. Child in my eyes,
you will always be my child in my eyes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Brother Brian, Sister Deirdre. We'll always be children in his eyes. Amen. Let's stand up, let's sing.
I have heard of Christians long ago who were brought before a tyrant's throne. They were told that he would spare their lives if they would renounce the name of Christ. But one by one, they chose to die for the Son of God. They would not deny, like a great angelic choir sings, we could almost hear their voices ring. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the years have come and the years have gone, but the cause of Jesus still goes on. Now our time has come, oh, to count the cost, to reject this world, to embrace the cross.
And one by one, let us live our lives for the one who died to give us life till the trumpet sounds in that final day. Let us proudly stand and boldly say, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb, to the Lamb of God, who bore my pain, who took my place, who wore my shame. I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. We need wisdom, we need power, true love for each other. We have had so many big and empty words. So we come before your face, asking for your grace. Take your people to a state of fruitful life. Restore your church again. Touch your people once again with your precious holy hands. We pray, may your kingdom shine upon this earth through a living, glorious church, not for temporary needs, but to restore authority and power. Let your mighty rushing wind blow in. Oh, touch your people once again. Lord, you see your tired servants, your broken, wounded soldiers. Oh, how much we need your precious healing hand. We need the power of the cross. That's the only source for us when we stand up facing final battle cry. Restore your church again. Oh, touch your people. Touch your people once again. Oh, with your precious holy hands, we pray, may your kingdom shine upon this earth through a living, glorious church, not for temporary deeds, oh, but
to restore authority and power. Lift your mighty rushing wing, roaring. Oh, touch your people once again.
Amen. Amen. Saints, we do greet you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. It's wonderful to be back in His house again. It's wonderful to see the saints. I don't know if everybody is as happy to see me as I am to see them, but I hope so. But it's really fine to see everybody. We do appreciate your prayers while we're away. Went to quite a few places since we were last here. We were here a couple of weeks back. Went to Brother Tom's church in the evening. I really thank the Lord for his blessing there. Then we went to Scotland with Brother Brian Locke. As I sent a message to some of the saints, it was a real outstanding time. I've been many times to Scotland, never had a time like it was there. You know, it was just a real blessed time with the saints there. So I really appreciated that. And then last weekend with Brother Alex Ukeni and the saints in Wolverhampton, they were all sending greetings to the saints here. But they're doing well there. They were saying, please pass personal greetings on to all the saints. We went to visit Brother Mike's friend, Brother Joseph, there in Telford. He was asking to send special greetings as well. We had fellowship with him in his house and his wife. And then we were with Brother Crosby's church in Leicester in the afternoon. So it was really nice to get around, see the saints. It's wonderful sometimes to fellowship with the sons and daughters of God in different places, because you find out that we may be in different places, but you all go through the same things. You know, and it's really encouraging to just spend time in fellowship. We have a few Thanksgiving. Firstly, Brother Vlad and Sister Lydia married for 12 years today. So may the Lord bless them for that. Amen. They want to thank the Lord for their marriage, 12 years old today. Also visitors today, Brother Christian's children are with us, so God bless them. And Brother Maxwell Sr. wants to give a testimony as well. Okay, just 1 second, brother. And also we have, is it Neil? Oh, Neil. Oh, I see, Sister Neil's friend, Grace from Australia. God bless you, amen. Bro Max wants to give a testimony. Let's be seated. Bro Max, if you want to come and give your testimony, bro. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I think I've talked about my son who is in Ukraine. Mm. I've already given a testimony about what the Lord has done in his life.
Amen.
He just met his own professor. He doesn't know him anywhere. But you know the situation in Ukraine. It has become very, very intense. Whilst the battle was on, the university had to close down. But yet, this professor, the wife also is a lecturer. He found a place in their laboratory where my son was still continuing his education.
Amen.
Whilst the university has closed.
Hmm.
So now the battle has become very, very intense now, so it's very difficult for them to go out now. Meanwhile, it's this same professor's driver that comes to pick my son from where he has kept him and take him to the laboratory. And
hallelujah. Amen.
And he has filled the place where he's living with all sorts of food that he doesn't need to go out.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And we don't know the man anywhere.
Amen.
See, but we know that it's the hands of God.
Hallelujah.
Then now, as they cannot go out, now the whole situation is really very terrible now. Mm. So what this man wants to do now, he wants to take my son to safety.
Mm.
So he's going to drive him himself from Luhansk all the way to Kyiv. And keep him there.
Amen.
And what can we do to them?
Hallelujah. Amen. Wonderful. Yes.
That for no reason, for nothing, no knowing him nowhere, but he has taken the pain and every burden upon himself.
Yes, bro.
To help my son.
Hallelujah.
And meanwhile, we are trying to see how he can transit here for a while till the place becomes conducive for schools to be reopened. So we all, the church, I request that the church remember this situation into the hands of the Lord.
Amen.
Go richly blessed.
Wonderful. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I think when we get beyond the curtain of time, we're going to find out that many of the people we associated with, they were angels in disguise. You know, have you never met angels in disguise? I've met some of them along the way. They're just those sorts of people the Lord puts in your path, and they don't even have to be believers. But the Lord just puts people to minister to you at that time. Friends, that's wonderful. Hey, is it not? You find people like Cyrus in the Bible didn't even know Jehovah, but the Lord used them to protect and to minister to his people and to bring them into the promise. You know, and I think the Lord is still full of people like that. He can surround. And the prophet says many of those people will receive eternal life on that day because of what they did to the saints, because they fulfilled their purpose in this life. That's a wonderful thing. Saints, let's stand. Sister Eva is asking for prayer. Brother Johnny's at work, so she couldn't come today. Let's stand. Let's open our Bibles before we pray. Let's open Exodus chapter 3, the book of Exodus chapter 3. Nothing really complicated, but we just like to take something that will maybe minister to our souls if the Lord would grant us that grace. Exodus 3, verse 13 to 15. Verse 13, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. That'll be our topic today. I am that I am. I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Aren't you glad that I am has sent you as well? Now Moses was commissioned by I am. And you've been commissioned by the same I am. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. And God said, verse 15, moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, have sent me unto you. This is my name forever. And this is my memorial unto all generations. Father, thank you for your precious word. Father, we thank you that today you are I am. Father, you are the great I am. You are the I am that spoke to Moses in the burning bush of fire. Father, you are the great I am that was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And you are the same I am in this generation. You're the same I am that came down, Lord, on the Ohio River, Lord. You're the same I am that came in a cave in the form of the angel of the Lord. And Father, you are the same I am still dwelling in the midst of your people. So we pray that you'd be glorified in your people upon this day. Father, take this word and break it to us, Lord. Let it really become manna upon this day. Father, let it be hidden manna. Father, that portion for the priesthood, Lord, that you would, Father, invite them within the veil. And Father, they could come and open the pot, Lord, and your unchanging presence. And Father, that manna would never, ever contaminate because of the place and the atmosphere in which they partook. And Father, we just want to enter into that place upon this day. So Father, forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for our trespasses, Lord. Anything in word or thought or deed that Father would hinder that atmosphere inside of our souls. Father, that atmosphere that you may express yourself in. Wash us in the blood of the Lamb, even at this time, Lord. Father, that rich and that royal blood that was shed for us, Lord. Father, let the blood speak on this day, we pray. We do pray for Sister Eve. Watch over her, Lord. Bless her there. Bless Brother John at work. Father, the rest of the saints who have traveled different places, wherever they would be, we dedicate them into your hands. Father, gather with your people upon this day. Father, we do remember Israel upon this day. Once again, we just think of your people. Father, even as Paul would say, his brethren after the flesh. Father, the children of that covenant. Lord, we just bring them up unto thee upon this day. Surrounded by the heathen. Lord, surrounded by hostile forces, Lord. Father, the devil trying to keep them from the inheritance. We just pray for them, Lord. Father, let the same angel of the Lord that fought in years and in days gone by. Father, may you rise up and show yourself strong on their behalf. And Thank you, Father, for the testimony, Lord, of what's happening in Ukraine. Lord, bless the saints there. You protect them, Lord. You be a hedge of fire around them, Lord. And Father, you provide for their needs and sustain them. We ask and pray. But Father, now we shut ourselves in with you, praying your blessing upon each house, each home, each head that is represented here. Minister unto us, Lord, to give your word back to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Like I said, we'll just take the thought of I am that I am. Just while we're away and just in this time since we were last here, I was having a look just at that simple topic, but it opens up into a real interesting topic, is the various names of the Lord. You know, you find that the Lord, in revealing himself down through the ages, he's revealed himself in many different names. You know, and he revealed himself to Moses at that time as I am that I am. He says, what is the name that I should tell the people that has appeared to me? And he says, tell them that the I am that I am has appeared unto you. And there was a reason why at that time he revealed himself in that form. You know, the Lord always, when he appears in a burning bush, there's a reason that he's appearing in a burning bush. Now, when he appears in a ball of light on the Damascus Road, there's a reason that he chose to appear in that kind of a form at that kind of a time. When he appears in flesh, in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ, there was a reason that he came and he appeared in that form at that time. And the same with you and I. You know, the Lord reveals himself, and it's a progressive revelation. You find that through the Bible. He would reveal himself in one name, and then down the way he'd reveal himself as another name. We know his seven redemptive names that he had of Jehovah. But there's many other names that he revealed himself in the Bible. And that shows something to us, is that you can't pin just one name on God. Because the name speaks of character. That speaks of the essence of something. If you speak of something's name, a name is like a window into the character of something. A certain self-revelation or expression of something. And we know that the Lord, being so great, that he expresses himself in so many ways. He wants to reveal himself in so many ways. That's why you find he's revealed himself in so many names in the Bible. So many names and titles. And you find these names were normally at specific junctions in time. When people were at a crossroads, or people were in a crisis, or people needed something special, or something beyond what they'd needed in maybe the preceding time before them. But there came a certain junction, a certain time. Sometimes it was a crisis of danger. You know, sometimes it was a time when people needed deliverance, like in the Exodus. Whatever it was, but at each of those times, the way the Lord would reveal himself and like would minister the people through that situation was to reveal a fresh name, a fresh aspect of himself to the people. That although the people had known something of him before, but there was still far more in him. And when the need would come about, when it would come to a specific situation, there was something in the need of the people that would draw forth a certain attribute of the Lord. He'd want to express himself in a certain way. And you know, these names express his attributes. He's wanting to express who he really is. You know, and right from the beginning, you'll see this, that you know, his revelation is unfolding. And that is why your experience should also be unfolding. Now, if you've been stagnant in your experience, there's something wrong. Being stagnant in your Christian experience is a dangerous condition to be in. Now, that's the kind of time you get yourself entangled in the wilderness. Now, just as he unfolds himself and reveals himself progressively over time to minister to his people and to meet certain needs and to keep his program going forth, so it's got to be in the life of the individual. Because God doesn't call us as a nation of the Gentiles. He calls us as individuals. So he's got to be unfolding his process of his plan progressively inside of your life. And in order to do that, he needs to reveal more of himself. He needs to reveal certain aspects of himself to you at certain times. If you're sick and you can't seem to recover, he says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. He wants to reveal himself as Jehovah Rapha. And you'll go and find in the Bible there was a reason that he revealed himself to his people at that time as Jehovah Rapha. When he revealed himself, when Israel was coming to their great first battle against the Amalekites in the wilderness, he revealed himself as Jehovah Nissi. the Lord who is our banner. Not the great general who gathers the people to himself and raises the standard and gives them battle orders and goes before them. There was a reason he revealed himself at that time as Jehovah Nissi. And friends, there's times we need him to reveal himself to us as Jehovah Nissi. Now when the battle gets thick and the devil is fighting you and you find you're getting beaten down, you need a fresh revelation of who he is. Now you don't need more knowledge. You don't need more like knowledge in that sense, but you need a fresh unveiling of himself to you. Amen. And we know the prophet says right from the beginning that the name Jehovah, it shows us that God desires to reveal his attributes. You know, the whole purpose God has made us is to reveal himself to us. So if you find, we said it on Thursday night at the Brian and Sister Dubia's house, is that if you find God has stopped revealing himself to you, the fault isn't on God's side. No, he has inside of himself the desire to make himself known. He wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to make himself personal and present in your current situation. So if you find the revelation has dried up, the personal essence of who he is no longer unfolding itself in your experience, the problem is in your life, is that you're not allowing him the atmosphere, you're not creating the conditions which allow him to express himself. Because expression depends upon atmosphere. Amen. Expression needs a certain condition so that he can express himself. But he always desires to express himself. He desires to express himself today. But it depends on our attitude. Now, like the prophet says, you get what you expect. You find certain people will come and they're not expecting anything and they receive nothing. But other people will come and they'll receive something. And the Lord will minister a fresh impetus, a fresh momentum into the experience, because they came with the correct attitude. They've come with a certain teachableness and humility of spirit that they wanted to bow themselves down and submit themselves to the authority of the word. And they're wanting the Lord to minister something to them. And he'll never let you down, because he's Jehovah and he wants to express himself. He wants to reveal himself. And that really is our fault. You know, if we get sin in our lives, we get starchy and we get cold. As much as he'd want to reveal himself, the conditions aren't right. He can't operate in that kind of a condition. That's why in the Bible, Jesus would come into a town and he would have all the power inside of himself, because he was the great I Am made flesh. He had all the attributes that the people needed. He had in himself everything that people needed to be ministered out of the condition that they were. But he came into a town and he could do no great work, this Bible says, because of their unbelief. Because the atmosphere was wrong. And there was a certain time he had to take a man out of the unbelief of the city and pray for the man, and then the attributes could go forth and he could open the eyes of the people. And the prophet says it time and time again. It's the atmosphere that brings the results. You know, it needs a certain fertile kind of a condition. And God needs a certain humility, a certain simplicity to work in. He needs a yieldedness. He needs people that have a desire to say, Lord, I want to know you more. Now, Lord, I'm thirsting for you, like we were singing about. Lord, I thirst for you. And he never lets you down in that kind of a time. Amen. I've never seen him ever fail anybody, and he never will. If you come with that kind of an expectation, that kind of an attitude and approach towards him. But many, many times you find the people get themselves in a condition that there's no more expression of who he is. There's no more progressive unfolding of who this great God is in your personal experience. Friends, it's a dangerous condition to be in. You know, stagnant waters, they breed things that you don't want in the waters. But running waters are pure. Running waters keep themselves crystal clear. Running waters keep themselves fresh. And it's the same in your Christian experience. When he continually is unfolding himself and ministering to you, it keeps something real in your experience. It keeps you with momentum. Amen. Now, in the Bible, the people knew the importance. Even the heathens in those Bible lands, they knew the importance of knowing the name of whatever deity which they were worshiping. You know, they believed, and maybe they still do today, they believed if they could call upon the name of a God, if they knew his name, that would bring him on the scene to minister to their condition. Amen. And that's the truth, friends. If you call upon his name, But it's not just uttering words. That's not calling upon his name. That Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus that time and she didn't know what name to use. She didn't know how to approach him correctly. And she said, "Thou son of David." And she was a Gentile, and we Gentiles have no authority or right to call upon him as son of David. So when she called upon him in that particular title that he had, there was no response. The Bible says he answered her not a word. But when she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, have mercy upon me," that was the right name. That was the right approach. And immediately something came forth to minister to her from Jesus. Bartimaeus called upon, "Thou son of David," and Jesus stood still. Because Bartimaeus, as a Jew, had every right to address him and call upon that attribute that was in him as the son of David. And the moment Bartimaeus, with that faith, called upon him in that particular way, Jesus stood still. And Jesus was ready to minister to him. So there's something about this. There's something about how he reveals himself. And there's something about how we respond to that revelation. Because we can't call upon him, the Bible says, you cannot call upon him whom you have not heard. So if you don't know a certain attribute of who he is, he has to first reveal who he is to you. Then you call upon him in that form, and then God will minister that blessing to you. He like has to minister an entrance to you at a certain season. And if you're sensitive enough and you respond to it, you'll find that he reaches forth from the throne and then he ushers you through to the throne. And then you can receive what you're looking for. But it needs a certain sensitivity, these things. And now the people of the Bible and the peoples of the past, they knew that. Because the name of the Lord is his nature. It's his essence. It's who he actually is. These different names express to us his very character and his personality. And I really do believe that's why he's unfolded himself in all these various names in the Bible. And if you go and study those names, prayerfully study those names, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you realize who he is, you realize how he's trying to express himself, it'll minister faith and an expectation into you. Because if he revealed himself like that to the peoples of the past, and he ministered right into the situations of people in ages gone by, using certain attributes and characteristics behind those names, I would say that it's quite a profitable field to plow in, quite a fruitful vineyard to spend a little bit of time considering these names of the Lord. And more so when Solomon said, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower." It's like a refuge. There's something about this. It's not just a label that you're giving to somebody. But the name of the Lord is his essence. It's his presence ministering in a certain way. It's a reality. You're stepping into a certain manifestation of who he is when he reveals his name to you. You may today need to know him as Jesus, which is Jehovah Savior. And until you realize and make full use of that manifestation of God to you, he's not going to take you any further. Amen. You've got to, one step at a time, what he's trying to reveal to you and deal with you with inside of your life at that time. To other people, you need to know him as the restorer of your soul. Jehovah Rapha means the God who restores as well. You may need him to restore the joy of your salvation. You need to call upon Jehovah Rapha to say, "Lord, come and heal me, O Lord. Come and heal me spiritually." You may need the healing of your soul just as much as the healing of your body. But it's so great how God has open up all this great revelation of himself. And the reason he's opened it all up is so that he can minister to you through that revelation. So that revelation will encourage you to call upon those attributes that are in him. That in your need you can draw forth those attributes of God. And God will be moved inside of him and he'll express himself in that way to you. And any Christian knows that's the truth. Any Christian knows those precious junctions in your experience where he's revealed those attributes to you, when he's revealed something new to you. And you normally find the new name when he reveals it to you, he makes something real to you. There's a new song that follows the new name. No, there's a new worship, there's a new something that comes forth from you because he's done something new to you. It may not be a new name, it may have been in the Bible, but it's never been real to you. He's never expressed himself to you in that name. You've heard that he's expressed himself in that name to other people on that way, but it's never been a personal expression or experience to you. But there come certain needs in our lives and certain junctions. And that's why I say most of the time, if you read in the Bible, the Lord would reveal himself like to Abraham at different names and different junctions of time. And each of those revelations changed Abraham as well. Until in Abraham, in the end, he receives a new name, you know, because Jehovah's revealing these new names to him and unfolding his personal essence of who he is to minister to the needs of Abraham each step of the way. Let's look in Psalm 9, verse 10. I like this scripture because it really, really does show the importance of the greatness of his name. We sing the song, "How excellent is thy name." It's true. Jesus told us to pray, "Our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let your name be set apart and consecrated." And David in the psalm says in Psalm 9 verse 10, "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee." Amen. You see, if you know who he is, his personality, his essence, his character, you'll trust in him. But it means if you're not trusting him in today, you don't really know who he is. You need to say, "Lord, reveal your name to me. Reveal who you are. That you are the great unchanging one. That you are the great faithful one. That you are my provider. That you are my peace, Jehovah Shalom." Whatever it is. But it says it, "They that know thy name." They that know thy name. Jesus said it. He says, "To know him is life eternal." To know him. So there's a certain type of knowing. This isn't just an intellectual knowledge. This isn't just the knowledge of a word. This is an experience. This is when you know something by experience. That when he's revealed himself to you by experience, in the situations that you've gone through in the past, the more that he reveals his name to you, and the more that you know his name, the more you'll trust in him.
Amen.
But this is a progressive unfolding, friends. This is coming to a maturity in faith. You never really know somebody. You can never trust in somebody until you know them.
Amen.
You know, if you just know somebody on a casual basis, you don't trust them that much. You'd like to trust them, but it takes an intimate knowing of somebody. It knows it going through thick and thin. You know what that person is like. You know their character. You know their nature. You know how they behave when the pressure's on. You know how they behave in the valleys as well as on the mountains. You know how they respond to you in your time of need. You come to know the name of that person. You come to know the essence, the character, the what's beyond the veil. You get to know that personally, by personal experience, and there'll come a time you'll even trust your life to certain people because you know them by name. You really know who they are. And that's an important thing because what is a name? You know, you ask somebody, "What is a name?" You look at somebody, look at George, say. You know, the only way that you really know the name George is as he lives his life, certain characteristics are being unfolded. Certain situations are bringing out certain mannerisms and certain behaviors in his life. And after some time, when you've been with someone long enough, you get to know. If somebody says to you, "George," you know what George represents. You'll think, "George, he's a man of prayer." You know, George, inside of him was music. And then there came a certain time and it started to express itself. No, George is made in such and such a kind of a way. You know, the name represents the life or the character or the nature beyond the veil of who that person is.
Amen.
But you only really know the reality of that name when the person unfolds themselves and reveals themselves over time. And then the moment that name is presented before you, there's something you associate with that name. Like if I bring up to you today the name Jesus, what do you think about? To a believer, you have a lot of good thoughts. Now, the moment you hear that name, there's so much that comes to you immediately in your experience, in your life, and what you've read of him, what you've experienced in his presence, what is unfolded to you. But to the unbeliever here today, when you say Jesus, it means nothing to them. Yet to a Catholic person who's maybe been abused in the Catholic Church by the priests, when you say the name Jesus, it doesn't give a very good impression. Because they've never seen the unfolding really of what his name really is. They've never really tasted of those attributes and that essence and that nature of what is really behind that name. But to the people that know his name, they'll trust in him.
Amen.
If I put the name before you today, Judas. Now, what do you think? Judas is the name Judah in the Bible. Jesus is a lion of the tribe of Judah. But because of that which is focused on in the Bible about Judas, that he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. He sold out his birthright for 30 pieces of silver. You know, no one will ever call their child Judas who's a believer. You never will. You'll never call your child Cain. Because when you just think of the name Cain, you think of somebody who slaughtered his brother because of jealousy, because of hatred, because of the blessing of God on the life of his brother. That's what you think of when you think of Cain. There's a life behind the name. There's something that name represents to you. And that's exactly the same as with the Lord. And each of these names, when he unfolds himself, there's a life. There's a manifestation. It's like he's opening a door to you, a window to you, to a certain manifestation, to a certain experience that you can have with him in that particular aspect to minister to your particular need. And that's why the Lord doesn't pin himself down in the Bible just to one name. Because you can't put God in a box. You can't just say, this is all of God here. All through eternity, he's going to be unfolding his name. Because he's eternal. When we get there, he's going to keep unfolding himself. There's going to be fresh revelation, fresh manner, every single, you can't say minute of eternity, but every portion of eternity that we're there, there's going to be a continual unfolding, the prophet said. That's the hidden manner we're going to partake of when you get beyond the veil. It's a never-ending unfolding of himself. And imagine now, friends, the little revelation that is given to us now of himself has transformed our lives.
Amen.
Imagine what it's going to be like there.
Amen.
Imagine this power of transformation that's come to us now in just a shadow of the revelation of who he is. Imagine when you're standing in a glorified body which is able to bear the fullness of the revelation. Amen. Imagine when your human mind, the corrupt human mind, has passed away. When time passes away and you're standing with a body like his body, you're standing renewed and perfect, and he's revealing himself to you. Friends, eye has not seen, neither ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love him. And to us, that's what you want. That's what puts the cream in life, is the revelation of Jesus Christ to your soul. The revelation of who this great God is. That's what makes life worth living. And friends, you as a believer, me as a believer, the moment we get out of that channel, that out of that atmosphere, and he's no longer able to express more of who he is. I've seen believers can be the most miserable of people. I've never seen people more miserable than a message believer who's lost his experience. The prophet says you become starchy. You become critical. Self-righteous, he says. And then what do we start doing? We start comparing ourselves with other people. You know, you'll find you've got no experience with God anymore. You've got no reality in your soul anymore. The fire's dim and you look and say, at least I don't cut my hair. Yeah? And we'll judge somebody else. At least I don't wear clothes like she wears. I don't think that's the standard we should be judging ourselves by. We can become starchy and self-righteous, the prophet says. He says if we're not experiencing the supernatural on a regular basis. But the moment that he reveals himself, you realize how great thou art.
Amen.
And Lord, this is grace to me. And the prophet says you can never condemn another mortal standing in the presence of God.
Amen.
That's why you find people that can condemn other people. It proves you've lost your experience.
Amen.
There's no reality. There's no present tense. I am in your experience. God to you is I was. Or he's going to be. But that's not what God wants to be. He wants to be I am. He wants to be present now in your experience. He wants to be ministering to you now in your current situation. He wants to be revealing that aspect of himself that will minister to the need that you've got now. And that's his desire. And to the believer, there's a deep in us that is seeking for that, that is crying out for that, because there's a deep in him wanting to reveal himself. That's why there's a deep in us that wants him to express himself in that kind of a way. And friends, that's the only thing that satisfies a believer, is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's him personally fellowshipping and communing with you, revealing his name, revealing what's beyond the veil. That'll keep you satisfied inside of your life. That's the manna that you're supposed to be eating every day. Because yesterday's manna gets wiggle tails in it, friends. Yesterday's manna goes rotten. You can't find God in yesterday. He's not the God of yesterday. He's the God of I am. Amen. You can't live in the past. You can't live in the regrets of the past, yes, of yesterday. God's no longer in yesterday. God is I am. He's here today. You've got to find him today. You can't live in the fear of the future. God is not the I am going to be. He's the I am. Amen. Don't worry about the future. You're going to find in your future, he's going to be I am. When you get to that part of your future, when you need to cross that particular bridge, you're going to find his I am that I am, and he's going to be with you to help you at that time. Amen. So why spoil your life because of the past? He's no longer in the past. Why spoil your life worrying about the future? He's not there. He's here now. He wants to be present tense. I am that I am. That's his name. And to a believer, you want to be feeding upon I am. Not upon I was or I will be, but is I am. That's what they sung, the song, the La Fontaine's. He's not I was, he's not I will be, but is I am. And that's the only thing that can give you strength for the day. That's the only thing that can equip you for your current battle. That's the only thing that can give you victory and sustaining power now is your relationship with I am. That has got to be I am to you today. Because he's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes in essence. That's who he is. And to know him is life. To know him. If you really know him, it transforms you. Who can come into the presence of I am and stay the same? You can never. That's why if you say you know him, the Bible says, and you hate your brother, you don't really know him. You don't really know him. You may have an intellectual knowledge of him, but he's never expressed the fullness of his attributes to you. Because once you've received the attributes of Jehovah Savior, Joshua, how is it possible for you to hold unforgiveness against your brother? When he's revealed unconditional forgiveness to you, grace to you, and that grace is real to you now. How is it possible for you to go your 50 pence that your brother owes you? We watched that last night with the children. When the king forgave that man. And then that man went out all arrogant from the presence of the king and found his friend who owed him. And his friend was begging with him, saying, please just give me some time and I'll pay you back. And he says, you've had enough time. And he threw him into the prison. And then the messenger came to the king and said, do you know what that one that you gave grace to has just done to his friend that was seeking for grace? And then the king came and threw him in the prison and let the other guy out of the prison. And there's a real principle there, friends. But you can't do it in yourself. He's got to minister the resources to you. He is I am. He is the self-existing one. He doesn't need anyone to minister to him. He has all the resources that he needs to get the job done. You and I don't. Because he's the vine and we are the branches. We need to be drawing upon him continually. Sometimes you're going to be running out of forgiveness. Sometimes it gets to reserve tank because of the behavior of certain people. And you've got to go back to the great I am. And you've got to draw the resources from him once. Because he never runs out of resources. He's inexhaustible in his resources. No matter how much he gives to you, he's no weaker for giving it to you. Because he's the I am. He changes not. He's exactly the same as he always has been. That's why the prophet says that you'll never understand his word. And you'll never understand his dealings with you until you know him. You've got to know him and his personality. Him and his nature. Then you'll understand the word. Then you'll understand his dealings with you. You say, give me an example. Abraham. God revealed himself first to Abraham as Jehovah. Genesis chapter 12, Genesis 13. Then he came and revealed himself as El Elyon. When Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, he revealed himself as the possessor of the heavens and the earth. Then he revealed himself as El Shaddai, the strength giver when he was waiting for the promise. Then he revealed himself as El Olam, the mighty God. Then he revealed himself as Jehovah Jireh. There's a lot of names that he revealed. And each of them was doing something in the experience of Abraham. Amen. Until finally in Genesis 24, when the Lord came and said, Abraham, take your son, your only son Isaac, who you love. Go and sacrifice him on a mountain that I will show you. Offer him as a burnt offering. Abraham didn't just know God as a title. He knew his nature. Amen. He knew who this God was. So when the Lord came with something that seemed hard and it seemed Amen. Cruel, go and sacrifice your son. It didn't stumble Abraham. Because you will never understand his word until first you understand who he is. Amen. And Abraham knew, I know who he is. I know that he's just. I know that he's merciful. I know that he doesn't promise and then take away his promises. I know that he changes not. I know he's the covenant God. So Abraham knew, although I don't quite understand what this word means, but I trust him. I trust him. Because they that know thy name shall trust in thee. And Abraham knew his name. It had been unfolding to him through his experience. So he came to maturity in his experience. That when the word came hard upon him, it didn't stumble the man. Amen. He got up early the next morning. He cut the wood, took his son, left the servant, says, I and the lad will go and worship and we will come back to you. He knew. But that's not something that comes from knowledge, learning, understanding. It's something that comes by experience. And there was a progressive unfolding of the attributes, the essence, the nature of God. To Abraham, each time he had come to a junction, each time he had come to a crisis, Abraham's need would be God's opportunity. Amen. God's opportunity to reveal another aspect of who he is. Friends, and you look back in your life, go and take the 7 redemptive names of Jehovah and go and put them on a list. And tick off the ones that you've experienced. And you'll find as a believer, if you've been anywhere in the Lord, you can tick off just about every single one of them. Every single one. Has he never been Jehovah Shalom to you? Have you never been troubled and burdened? And he's come and ministered peace in your soul. And given you a peace that passes understanding. In the midst of your trials. That's Jehovah Shalom. He ministers peace. He reveals himself. He is our peace, like the Bible says. Have you never been in need and he's come and provided your need? Amen. You know who Jehovah Jireh is. Amen. You know Jehovah. He's revealed himself as Jehovah Jireh. You may desire greater manifestation. We all do. But to any genuine believer, you can go down that list and you'll tick a lot of them off. You will tick them off progressively as you honestly and spiritually look back at your spiritual history that you've been through. Go back into your spiritual diary of spiritual experiences that is ministered to your own personal book of visions that you've written, like the prophet wrote. And see, if you just get still before the Lord and be honest with yourself, and get in the right atmosphere and think back, you'll come to the same conclusion as it came in the Bible. The Lord has been mindful of us. He shall bless us. That he's been faithful to his word. He's been faithful to his promises. He's revealed himself, the essence of who he is. He's ministered to your every situation and your every need. Amen. Unless you get stubborn, unless you hold on to willful sin, he's going to have to reveal himself in another kind of a way there. Because he has other attributes as well. Amen. He has attributes of judgment, as Brother Francois was saying. He's coming now in the day of the vengeance of our God. The same one who looked with eyes filled with tears, same one who comes back with eyes like fire. It's another manifestation of the great character and the great nature and essence of who he is. And there's certain times he's got to look at you the way we look at our children when they get stubborn. You've got to look with an angry face. Sometimes he's got to take the rod and he's got to give you a good whipping. But if you know him, the Bible says, if we do not accept his chastisement, if we reject it, it says we are bastard children. We are not sons and daughters. Because which father is there who doesn't chastise his children? And if we, being natural people, and we in love chastise our children because of our love to them, to correct them, to purge them, how much more our Heavenly Father? How much more must we give him the position, knowing his nature? And if you know his nature, you know it's for your good. You've had sufficient dealings with him to know that he does all things well. That he knows what he's doing, that all things are working together for good. If you come to perfection like Job, who was a perfect man, the Bible says. Job came to the stage in the most darkest of his trials. What did he say? Job 13. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Amen. To those who know your name, they will trust in you. Job didn't have just an intellectual knowledge of who this God was. The trials and the crisis and what came out of Job proved this man knew God. This man knew his God. He knew the nature of his God. He knew the God beyond the veil. He didn't just know the outward appearance of God. He had a personal knowledge, experiential knowledge of who God was. And that was proved that when everything fell apart in the man's life, he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Amen. Friends, it's easy to overlook that verse. Go and meditate on that verse a little bit. Because some people, you just step on their toes once, they get offended. They don't never want to forgive you for the rest of their days. Some people, you just offend them once in church, off they go and you don't see them for 6 months. Yet here was a man that God took away everything that he had. That his friends accused him, the brothers from church, accused him of being a secret sinner. His wife turned her back and said, curse God and die. And what did the man say? Though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. Friends, God didn't put that book of Job there just because Job was a joker. God put that book there because the Lord was saying, this is good. Like when God created the heavens and the earth and he said, it's good. When God looked at that testimony of Job, God said, it's good. Let my children meditate on that. And let my children seek the same experiential revelation knowledge of me. That in the midst of their trials, they won't charge God foolishly with their lips. But instead they will say, he does all things well. He knows what he's doing. What did Job say? He says, when he's finished with me, I know I'll come forth as gold. He's purging me. I know there's something he's taken me through this for. Oh, friends, I wanted to know him more. You know, we sing that song, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. It says, oh, for grace to trust him more. Don't you want that? Is that not your desire? To say, Lord, I want to trust you more. I want to be more faithful in my trial next time. I want there to be less murmuring and I want there to be more trusting in my trial. Next time you put me in that kind of a condition. That's the maturing of the faith of a believer. And Genesis 22, when Abraham was, well, Genesis 22, yes, when he was told to take Isaac, that was Abraham in his maturity. That was mature, golden brown faith in the experience of the man. It wasn't green like before when the famine came and he heads down to Egypt. Though the word's telling him, don't go to Egypt. Now that was Abraham in his immaturity when he didn't yet know the name of Jehovah. He hadn't yet had the experience that he had down the way. But once he went down the way, friends, he could come to that stage that he could lay his son on the altar. He could take out the sacrificial knife. And he could have a willingness and a readiness inside of himself to plunge that knife into the bosom of his only beloved son. That's not a light thing, friends. That's not an easy thing to do. That takes a man who knows his God. And don't you want to know your God like that? I want to know him like that. And he wants to be known like that. If we don't know him like that, it's because we're holding back. He wants to unveil himself. We're living in the time of the unveiling of God. He wants to continue to unveil himself. We just have to create the right atmosphere. Keep the right attitude. Keep the channel open between you and him. And let him reveal himself at those crises. Let him step down in those junctions of your life and reveal a fresh aspect, a fresh attribute, a fresh name that he hides himself behind. And a new song will come forth. A new testimony. A new chapter in your book of life. But be careful of the stagnant experience, like I said. Don't let your experience become stagnant, friends. Don't rest upon yesterday what you used to be. Don't do that. God doesn't rest upon what he used to do. He says, I'm the I am. The past is buried with the past, but I am that I am. And he wants it to be an I am in your experience as well. Paul, what is his testimony? Let's put up here 2 Timothy 1 verse 12. Just so we can just see the emphasis he puts. I really love it with Paul. 2 Timothy 1 verse 12. He's speaking about all the things that he's gone through. And he says in verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. So he was suffering. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. Oh, friends, I want that. I want to know him more. I want in the midst of my trials where Demas forsakes me and all Asia departs from me, when I'm sitting in a prison house because of the testimony of Jesus Christ, that I can say, I know who I believe. And I'm not ashamed. And if I had to do it all over again, I'd do exactly the same thing with my life. That's the testimony that you want. He says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. It wasn't just a glimpse of something that he had caught. It wasn't just a little taste that he had tasted, but he was persuaded. He says, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He says, I'm persuaded, I know the nature of this God. That though I'm going to lose my life, being chopped off by the Romans one of these days, though it seems people will look and say, Paul, you wasted your life. You could have been a big man in the Pharisees. He says, I know that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. That was a real knowledge, friends. That was a real experiential knowledge. It was a knowledge that kept him in the bad times. It was an anchor to his soul when he needed an anchor to his soul. And that's what the name of the Lord should be. The name of the Lord is a high tower. Amen. A strong tower. And the righteous run there into and are saved. It's a refuge. It's a reality. It keeps you in that kind of a time when you need a stronghold. And he's saying it's the name of the Lord. It's his revelation. It's his essence. It's who he is. The revelation of his presence. Friends, it's a high tower. It'll keep you no matter what the devil throws at you. That is the raised standard that he raises. When the enemy comes in like a flood, he reveals his name. He reveals himself to you. He reveals himself, and that's the standard that he uses to lift you up and to give you victory over your enemies at that time. We don't wrestle using carnal weapons. We don't use, you know, psychology and understanding and trying to outwit people. We flee into the high tower. We gather under the banner of Jehovah Nissi. Yeah. We come into his presence. We allow him to minister the resources to us. The I am who never runs out of resources to minister those limitless resources to us. And he never fails if you wait upon him. Because none that trust in him shall ever be put to shame, the Bible says. Amen. You'll never be embarrassed. You'll never be put to shame. Throwing your lot in with Christ and trusting him even in the most difficult of times. Now, we need to call forth these attributes, friends. And you know it yourself. You know, there's something in what you're going through now. There's something in what I'm going through now that I'm thirsting for a certain manifestation of God. And what I'm needing at this time maybe is different than what you're needing. You're needing a particular name of God to be revealed in its essence, to be unfolded to you. I'm needing a specific name of God to be unfolded to me. That's why he's filled his word with the revelation of his name. To minister to every single possible need that we can have. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's Jehovah Ra. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That if you're really, really trusting in that name, drawing forth from that name, you'll never want. But if you find yourself in a time of great spiritual need, if you come to the limit of your resources, the limit of your endurance, and you feel you can't go on anymore, friends, you're not taking advantage of what he's made available to you. You're not taking advantage of the great attributes that he has. You're not approaching him in that kind of a way to allow him to minister from that particular vantage point right down into your experience. But if you wait upon him, he'll never let you down. He'll minister it to you. That's why he's got to reveal it to you. And that is why he reveals these things for a purpose. Now, God doesn't just do things for the sake of doing things. He doesn't just reveal these names in the Bible because he wants to show off the different names that he's got. There was a particular need. Do you know where the name Jehovah Shalom was revealed? It was to Gideon. When Gideon was a fearful man who was under a commission of God and the hand of God was upon him, but he didn't have the courage to face up to his enemies. God had to come down and reveal himself as Jehovah Shalom. I am the Lord that gives you peace, that gives you rest. And he went in this, his power, and Gideon expressed himself and they overcame whoever it was, the Amalekites or whoever it was in that day. But there was a particular need. There was a particular need at that time that he revealed himself. And Abraham, he had a need. He needed a sacrifice. God will provide for himself a sacrifice. And at that time, God unveiled himself as Jehovah Jireh. I'm the one that's able to minister to your need. Not only able, but I'm willing to minister to your need. And that was expressed at a certain time. And the Bible says these things were put in the word for our, were put in there what for? For our learning. These examples were put in for our understanding. That if we look back and see how faithful he was, and that he's still the great I am today, we should be able to approach him with an expectation, friends. Amen. Putting your sins under the blood, putting all foolishness aside, and approaching him and calling upon the attributes of God, calling upon the name of the Lord. And I guarantee you, it won't take a split instant from the time you seek him with all your heart until already the answer's on its way. Amen. As it was with Daniel, as the brother was reading. And so we know that Abraham, he received such a revelation. I mean, he had such an unfolding. You know, and we're living in a similar kind of a day. Let's go to Exodus chapter 2 once again. Let's have a look at this Exodus revelation of himself. Because when he revealed himself as I am that I am, it was at a particular junction. There was a particular time and the people had a particular need. And that's why he revealed himself. The greatest of his attributes, he holds them back and he reveals them at Exodus time. Whenever it's an Exodus time, you find there'll be a great unveiling of God. There'll be a great unfolding of these great attributes. He may have revealed them in part to people before, but when it comes Exodus time, he pours forth that revelation. And friends, we're living in an Exodus time once again. And we're just waiting for the final unpouring of this revelation that's going to change your body in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And what is this revelation going to be? It's going to be the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's going to be the unfolding in such a powerful way to his bride of who he is. It'll change you. Just as much as he revealed himself in part to you already, and it's already transformed your life. It's already taken you from death unto life. There's a still greater unfolding that he has within himself. The full unveiling, which is revealed to the prophet, but a lot of it's still stored up and hasn't yet been poured forth upon his bride, revealed in that essence to his bride. That's what you're waiting for in an Exodus time, because he reveals himself at those kind of times in an abundant fashion. Exodus 2 verse 23. And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. Are we not living in a similar time? Creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. They were groaning. There was bondage. The whole system was against the things of God. It had got itself to that kind of a condition in that time. And when it looks so dark, usually he reveals himself the greatest in the darkest of times. Amen. He's always done it. You find it in the book of Daniel when he says the people will transgress the covenant and the people will do this and that. Daniel chapter 11, speaking of the end time, the tribulation period. But then he says, but the people that do know their God, they shall do exploits. Amen. At the worst of times, he reveals the best of who he is. And that's what's wonderful, that he put us in this age. He's put us in the worst of times, the darkest of times, but he's brought forth the revelation of himself. He's unsealed himself in this age. And all that he's waiting for, friends, is to be able to fully express what he's already revealed. It says they cried by reason of the bond. They sighed and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. Now they'd been 400 years there. God had always been a deliverer. God has always been the I am. Amen. But there comes a certain season and a certain time. And the people got themselves into a certain spiritual condition at that time. The atmosphere got right. The people got fed up with compromising with the world. The people got fed up with Egypt and the things that it had to offer. And the people started to remember the promises of God. And the people started to think, but he's not I was, he's I am. That's who he is. But they needed a fresh revelation of I am. To move them from this condition, this rut they'd got themselves in for 400 years. They needed a fresh manifestation of I am that I am. To move them from there and bring them now to the inheritance. And God was going to do that for them. But first, the prophet says, the people have to pray. You've got to earnestly desire it. If you love Facebook more than the Bible, I don't think he's going to reveal much of himself as I am to you. If you love internet and spending all your time on the earthly things, instead of searching his word and hungering and thirsting after the promises of God, you can't expect him to manifest himself much. Because as much as he wants to, like the prophet says, heaven is pregnant. The clouds are pregnant. They're hanging low with the blessings of God. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, searching for those to whom he may reveal himself strong on their behalf. But he's looking for a certain people that have a certain spiritual hunger and thirst. A certain people that are coming with a certain spiritual approach to say, Lord, this world isn't my home. Amen. I don't feel at home down here in this world no more. Lord, I want more of you. More of you. And when you start crying for more of him, there's more of him going to respond to your cry. Because you're calling upon the attributes of God. But if you're satisfied with a lukewarm life, don't expect any further manifestation. If you're satisfied with a life full of compromise, don't expect him to come, as we said on Thursday. God is not going to come and put his blessing upon a life of compromise. How can God put his seal of approval on something he doesn't approve of? He doesn't. But in the house of Cornelius, he dropped down the blessing. He came with a seal of approval because the man, he was seeking God with fasting and prayers. And his prayers came up before God as a memorial. And that pulled forth the full blessing of the attributes of God. And God poured himself out because there was an atmosphere. There was a certain attitude. There was a certain man that had a certain thirst. And you know, was following through that thirst in the right way. And God will always meet you in that kind of a time. He'll never disappoint you. He never will. But you've got to seek him in that kind of a way. And finally, Israel, after 400 years, had enough of living outside of the promise. That enough of not being in the land of the promise. And so they started to groan and they started to sigh. And it says, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. You see, they started to call upon something in him. And God, who was there all the time and has loved his people all the time, all of a sudden these great attributes in God started to move because of the cry of his people, because of the needs of his people. And for the first time in 400 years, something started to move. God started to yearn and to feel, to say, I want to move on behalf of my people. I want to do something for my people. And it says, verse 24, and God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. That's the key. The prophet says you've got to do something for God to respect. Amen. You've got to do something. That doesn't mean that God isn't a God of grace. Yes, it's unmerited favor. But the prophet says God has made it in such a way that we have to do something. Because if God gives us things without us having done something, we don't appreciate them. Amen. He says it's like when you have to work for something, then you get it. You appreciate that thing that you've got. Amen. And that's how God brought these conditions and brought these trials down in Egypt. And the people now started to go back to search out the covenant promises of God once again. And the people of God started to look at the promises in a different kind of a way. Because they'd prayed themselves out of that Egypt worldly condition. They'd been weaned from the things of the flesh. Their souls needed something. Their souls were given their preeminence now, their spiritual life. And they started going back to the Word and saying, but God, you are the God of Abraham. You are the God of Isaac. You are the God of Jacob. You made the covenant promises to us. Lord, we're calling upon your covenant name. And the moment they approached God like that, God wanted to reveal his name. That got to a bursting point in the Lord that he says, I've waited for this. I want to reveal myself fresh to my people. But he was waiting for the people to get themselves in that condition. So he comes down in chapter 3, Exodus chapter 3. And first he reveals himself to his Exodus prophet. He's going to come and reveal these attributes first to Moses, to the deliverer, the one that he had sent. And when Jehovah's going to reveal these attributes to Moses, it's going to kick in all the attributes of deliverance in Moses. And for the first time, Moses is now going to go and finish, fulfill his commission. That's how it works. Friends, he's the vine. We're the branches. Amen. We can do nothing outside of him. Amen. He's got to reveal it to us. Then it quickens the attributes inside of us that can have lain dormant for quite some time. But that revelation that he brings, that specific targeted revelation that he brings to your soul at that time to meet the conditions of the day, it quicken something inside of you once again. And now something comes to life, and you as the branch is going to bring forth that fruit that Jehovah has revealed himself to you to bring forth at that time. And that's what he's going to do to Moses. But he comes down. Moses sees the burning bush. We spoke a bit about it on Thursday. And you'll notice, look how it speaks about it. You've got to have a certain attitude and a certain approach. It says, verse 2, Exodus 3. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. So God chooses this way to reveal himself. He comes down as a fire, and it's burning. And it's burning in the midst of this bush. And the fire, no matter how much it burns, it never diminishes. And Moses is saying, but what kind of a fire is this? Because us in our earthly terms, our fire will always diminish. It uses, it consumes, it resources. But now there's a different kind of a fire. This is the divine fire. This is the I am that I am. And it's going to say, Moses, you change, Moses. Your fire was bright at one time, but it sure has gone dim. But I am the Lord and I change not. This fire never dims. No matter how much this fire will minister to others, this fire stays undiminished. It's an inexhaustible fire. Oh, friends, to a Christian, you know that that's true. Because he's put portion of that fire in your bosom. And that bosom, that fire in you, it will never be exhausted. It will never go out. Sometimes you'll allow the natural things to crowd it out. But the moment you just separate yourself, consecrate yourself, you find that fire still burning inside of your bosom. Because the I am is in you now. It says, Moses, I'm sending you. And because I'm sending you, I'm going to go in you. Because that's the only way I can get my job done. And Moses, now having been weaned from the things of the world as well, 40 years in the backside of the desert sun, and his wife, who had a high temper, and the things that he had to go through, the prophet says, this was now a man who God had put in the right condition. He had shaped this prophet, this vessel, into a condition that I am could minister the divine fire into him. This fire that never gets exhausted. And Moses looks at this bush and says, but this fire is burning, but it's not consuming the bush that it's in. Friends, because this fire doesn't come to consume. This fire comes to minister. This fire comes to build up and to feed. And the more that it burns, friends, the greater that bush is going to grow. You take Aaron's rod, put it in the divine fire, see what it does. Put it in the presence of the Shekinah. It didn't burn up the rod. It started to bud and to blossom and to bring forth fruit. And that's all that you need, friends. Bring your soul back into the presence of I am. He's I am today. He's the same as he was when he first called you. He's the same as he was when he first revealed himself to you in a supernatural way. He's I am. He changes not. But who was the one who has changed? Moses had changed. Israel had changed. They weren't the same as they were in the days of Abraham, or the days of Isaac, or the same of the days of Jacob. But the first revelation that God had to give Moses was, Moses, I don't change. I am that I am. I don't change. Amen. My thoughts don't change. My love doesn't change. My opinion of you has never changed. Yes. Though you've changed, I don't change. Yes. And friends, that's the first revelation you need to get back once again. Is the God who called you never changes. He never changed. He's never changed his mind towards you. His love to you is just as undiminished as it was when he first loved you. Because he's I am. He's the fire that never gets consumed. He never changes. He's unchangeable in his ways. And Moses needed that revelation first. He needed to realize, but God, I'm the one who's changed. But you never change. Though generations pass by, but you never change. From age to age, you never change. Friends, what a revelation. The prophet says it in the church age book. He says, when he was choosing the church age messengers, it says, the key given me of the Lord, whereby I was to determine the messenger for each age, is a most scriptural key. In fact, it might be called the keystone of the Bible. The keystone is when you're building an arch. It's the stone in the middle that holds everything together. That's the one that when you place it, it holds everything in its place. And the prophet says the keystone of the Bible is the revelation that God never changes.
Amen.
He doesn't change.
Amen.
That's why Moses, when God's going to build once again, when God's going to minister them to inheritance once again, he has to give Moses the keystone revelation again. That I never change, Moses. I never change. I remember my promises. I'm not an Indian giver. I don't give today to take away tomorrow. But we change. Friends, today we'll say he's the bride. Tomorrow we'll say he's not. Today we'll say that's a believer. The next day we'll be saying they're not. But God doesn't change. God doesn't change. It's we who change. That's how we need to come back into the presence of I am. We need, like Moses, to come to the burning bush experience again. That he can reveal this keystone to us. That he doesn't change. If God called you, he didn't make a mistake when he called you. I might think he made a mistake, but I'm not the I am. I'm limited in my knowledge. I'm limited in my understanding. My knowledge will pass away, but he changes not. He changes not. The gifts and callings of God without repentance, God will never give them and then revoke them or take them away. But many times we take it away. He's not going in the rapture. They're not going in the rapture. That's just our childishness and our foolish immaturity. Let's be honest, friends. That's just us behaving like children. We're the children of God, yes, but we're behaving like children when we think like that. Putting these in the bride and then taking them out again. What are we doing? We're not the I am. Let's leave it up to the I am. The one who changes not. The one who knows the end from the beginning. Let's leave it in his hands, friends. And you just focus on your calling. That's the important thing. You just focus on your individual calling because God calls the Gentiles as individuals. So you just worry about yourself. That time when Peter came, Peter being Peter, and Jesus had just told him, Peter, when you're old, you've always led yourself, but there's coming a day when you're old. Someone's going to bind you and lead you where you don't want to go. And then Peter said, Lord, that's wonderful. Thanks for telling me that. Then he says, what about this man? And he pointed to John. And Jesus said, what is that to you? Follow thou me. And I'd say, friends, we need to get back to a follow thou me experience again. There's too much worrying about what other people are doing. And there's not enough worrying about what we're doing about our calling. We've got a stagnant experience and we're criticizing others who are trying their best. I don't think we should be doing things like that, friends. I think we should be coming into the presence where I am, taking off our shoes on holy ground and saying, Lord, forgive me. Like Isaiah, Lord, I'm a sinful man. I dwell amongst a sinful people and people of unclean lips. And God had to come with a call of fire and cleanse his lips before he could put a fresh word in the mouth so that he could speak on behalf of I am, the consuming fire. But I think it's an important thing, friends. We people that are so easily sidetracked into other people's business. Is that not true? I'm guilty. But I'm praying so much. I pray so much to you saying, Lord, take me back to the days of my youth. Because when I was young, I didn't want to hear with itching ears what somebody else had been doing. If someone was doing wrong, I wanted to pray for them. I wanted to visit them and edify them and help them. I want to go back to the simplicity that is in Christ. The simplicity that I once had in Christ. That were all that I worried is, what does the Master think about me now? What is his opinion of me now? And start worrying about everybody else. Let God take care of that. Because he's the I am to them as well. He called them. He knows how to get them there. I think it's an important principle. That's what the prophet says. The revelation that God never changes. And that his ways are as unchangeable as he is. My. His ways are unchangeable, friends. That's a keystone. Because if you're sick, Bartimaeus was healed. The woman with an issue of blood was healed. It was an approach. There was certain attitude and atmosphere and approach. And every time you approach him the right way, those attributes will express themselves the same way. Because he changes not. If you need power and you experience, the same God that met them in the upper room wants to meet you as well. Because he's unchanging in his ways. He's never changed. He wants to put the divine fire in your experience once again, friends. But it needs a full surrender. It just needs a yieldedness. It's just a giving in. Just a letting go of certain things. Just coming like a child and laying your soul fully on the altar once again and say, I am thine, O Lord. I am thine. Just consume me with your divine fire once again. And he'll meet you there. Then he continues on with Hebrews 13:8. The prophet says, here it is. An unchanging God with unchanging ways. What he did at the first, he'll have to keep on doing until it's done for the last time. There'll never be a change. And that is the revelation, the keystone, friends. And let that be the keystone in your experience. Amen. That if he was real to you at one stage, he wants to be even more real to you now. He wants to unfold and express himself to you now. Never lean upon the experience of the past. Let them be stepping stones. Let them minister to a place of deeper and greater expectation. That, Lord, if you've done that for me, if I can just get myself more out of the way and become more yielded into the hands of the great potter, all things are possible in the future. Amen. If I'll just give myself into the hands of I am that I am. That's what the prophet says. And in Smyrna and Church Age is page 149, he says, the eternal thoughts of God. He says, let me ask you, are the thoughts of God eternal? If you can see this, you will see many things. God is unchangeable in both essence and behavior. He's unchangeable. He is omniscient. He has never had a new thought about anything. So you and I will think, but Lord, I think you're so discouraged with me. Lord, I think you regret that you ever called me. He's never had a new thought about anything. Amen. He doesn't change his mind. Yes. God can't change his mind. Amen. He can't. He says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Yes. He loves you when you're doing well just as much as he loves you when you're not doing well. Because his love doesn't diminish, friends. He may not be able to express it as much because of the atmosphere that we create when we're not doing so well. But inside of God, nothing changes. He can let... Perry Greenwald says that. He says, I learned one thing. God can never love you more and God can never love you less. No matter what you do, God will never love you more. And God will never love you less. Otherwise, he's a God that changes. But he's the unchanging God. We change. Today I can love you. Tomorrow I can not love you as much. That's how we are as human beings. We're mortals. We're like the grass. We'll pass away. But God is unchanging. And if the I am is dwelling richly inside of us, we won't be so changeable in our opinion of one another as well. We'll start to look through the lens, the way that God looks at it, and we'll start seeing beyond the veil. And sometimes we'll see the potential, and sometimes we'll see the future that God has for someone, and not just look at the current condition that they're in, because that's the way the Lord looks at us, because he's eternal. Now, James says it in the Bible as we come to a close. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That's an encouragement, friends. Because the devil's going to tell you a lot of things about what God thinks about you. I don't know where the devil gets the authority to do it, but he likes to do it. He likes to represent God to the believer a lot. The devil likes to tell you, you know, God thinks this about you, and God doesn't like you, and God's forgotten about you, and God's not going to fulfill his word for you. I wonder where he gets the authority to do that. You know the best thing to do? Go back to the source. Amen. Go back to the source himself and ask he himself what he thinks about you. Amen. And he's going to reveal it to you through his word and through his spirit. Amen. He's going to reveal his thoughts towards you have never changed. That he loves you. He loves you. He yearns for you as a son, as a father yearns for his son and his daughter. That's the great consuming fire. God never needs to rest. He doesn't get tired. No matter how much he ministers his resources and his energy, he stays the same. Amen. That's why he could say it in Isaiah 40. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? The everlasting God. That's El Olam. We'll see it if you get to that name. The Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not. Neither is weary. There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. Amen. Aren't you glad? Amen. that this inexhaustible fire can minister to you and not be weakened when it ministers to you. Like when Jesus told the disciples, feed the 5,000. They ended up with more bread and fish than they did when they started. Amen. The more they fed, there was still more there. The more they said, there was still more there. It's incredible how God can do it. Amen. Friends, He will forgive you today and you'll think, surely I've run out of forgiveness with God. I've asked Him for forgiveness so many times. But the fountain of forgiveness will never run dry. Amen. You'll go back and it's just as replenished today as the day when you first needed the fountain of forgiveness. The fountain of encouragement, the fountain of strength, whatever it is, He never changes. Amen. He says He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, they that come back into the presence of I am that I am, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Ah, friends, that was the revelation Moses needed to catch first. The keystone revelation that I can just keep. Lord, how am I going to do it? The people aren't going to believe. Lord, I'm going to run out of strength. Lord, I'm not going to know what to say. And he said, hey, Moses, I am that I am. I am the I'm in the burning bush. Everything you need is in me. And I'm going to put it in you. And the more that you use it, the more I'm going to put it inside of you. And I'm never going to be weaker for what I've done. And that's what it is, friends. Now the prophet gives it to us in a very simple way. He says, like when Elisha asked Elijah for a double portion, it was a great thing that he asked for. The prophet says, ask for plenty. Because God likes to give it that way. Amen. It's just the trouble. People say, I ask Him far too much. Have you ever felt like that? He wants you to ask for much. It says, don't be scared to ask Him. Ask just all you can ask. Amen. He likes to give you as much as you've got faith to receive. God's got plenty of blessings. Amen. Could you imagine a little fish about that long, out in the middle of the ocean, saying, I better drink of this water sparingly. I might run out someday. Oh my. That's nothing compared to the blessings that God has for you. Amen. He says, could you imagine a little mouse under the great garners of Egypt saying, I just better eat a few grains each day because I might not last through the winter. This is why he could never eat it in a thousand lifetimes. Neither could you usurp the blessings that God's got laid up for you. If you live 10 million years here on earth, there's still plenty of blessings for you because he's the inexhaustible fountain of life. And that was the revelation to Moses. That Moses, don't you worry. Everything you need is in me. And I'm calling you to a partnership. You're going to go down with me. And once Moses caught that revelation, what a difference it made to the man. He then had plenty of forgiveness for the sinful people. He would throw himself in the gap. He had plenty of patience to put up with the murmurings of the people. He couldn't do it 40 years before in his own self. He quickly ran out of resources as Moses the man. But when he was Moses, the called and commissioned and ordained and filled prophet of the Exodus, he had all the resources that he needed. He just needed to keep going back and drawing from this inexhaustible supply. And friends, that's what we need to do as well. Just keep drawing from His inexhaustible supply. I'll finish with this. This great I am. He says to Moses, I am that I am. Now Moses might have said, okay, you are, but what are you? You're saying you I am that I am, but what are you? Well, if you just waited a few years until Jesus came on the scene, Jesus was going to show what he is. Amen. And in the book of John, the eagle, there's the sevenfold I ams of Jesus. I'll just read them to you. We'll finish with that. I really liked it. I said, Lord, Moses had a limited knowledge of the I am. When Jesus came, now was the full expression of who I am really is. He says it in John 6 verse 35. I am the bread of life. Oh, friends. What is he today? Are you hungry spiritually? I am the bread of life. You can eat as much as you want today. You're never going to run out of the spiritual bread. You may think, look, there's only 1,120 messages. Now I've got to listen to these things sparingly. No, there's only 66 books in the Bible. I might run out of things to read, friends. I am the bread of life. He's the I am. You will never run out of inspiration. You will never run out of spiritual nourishment. No matter how many times you read your Bible, there's going to be spiritual virtue every time. Because I am the bread of life. And he proved it when he sent his disciples out with the bread. He was showing them naturally, look, if you're with me, you're never going to run out of resources. Don't worry thinking, maybe I need to give this one just half a loaf because he's a little bit thin. And this is a child, let me give them a small fish. Jesus says, don't you do that. There's plenty more where it came from. And friends, when you get back in the spirit, you realize there's plenty more where it came from. You'll never run out of resources. You'll never run out of revelation and inspiration in his word and in the Exodus message that he sent. You never will, because the I am dwells in the midst of his word. Just as much as he was in the burning bush, now he's in his word. Now he's in his message. Now he's in his people. You'll never run out. The next I am of Jesus is 8 verse 12. I am the light of the world. Friends, whenever you're in darkness, don't you worry. No matter how dark it gets, no matter how there may be gross darkness upon the people, when I am comes on the scene, you're going to have light. Amen. And God proved that in the Exodus. It was dark in Egypt, but I am the light in the midst of his people. It was dark. And when you get in spiritual darkness, you just take off your shoes, approach him the right way, and you will find out that he is the light of the world, friends. He is the inextinguishable light. He's a light that will never be put out. He never will. You've just got to get yourself oriented with him once again and see how you'll shine light upon the next stage of your experience. Because he's the light of the world. In John 10:9, he says, I am the door. He's the door. He's the door. No matter what you're looking for, you get it through Christ. You come through him. He is the door to the sheepfold, he says. And then he says two verses later, John 10 verse 11, I am the good shepherd. That's what the I am is. He shepherded 2 million people through a wilderness, friends. He fed them with bread daily. And heaven was never worrying about where the next batch of bread is going to come from. He's the I am today. He says, I am the good shepherd. Is that your testimony? If you find, Lord, I don't have leadership now. I don't know which way to go. Just get yourself back in the right relationship with I am. Because one of the great attributes of I am the good shepherd. That's who he is. Then in John chapter 11, we know it well. John 11, 25, when there was such a crisis and a need in the life of Mary and Martha, and they didn't understand what was going on because Lazarus lay 4 days in the tomb, and he was stinking in the tomb, and they were orphans, and the breadwinner had been laying the other side of the great stone. What did Jesus come and reveal in that great hour? I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Can you see that these revelations come at certain junctions when you need them? Can you not see as it gets darker and darker and as they squeeze us and press us more and more, the laws and the ungodliness of this generation? Can you not see how much we're going to need the full revelation of I am the resurrection and the life very soon? And just as much as he had been with Mary and Martha many times, and never revealed the fullness or the essence of this unveiling of who he was. It took a certain condition and a certain time and a certain season. And Jesus stepped right into their need and came and revealed himself as he had never done before. That I am the resurrection and the life. Amen. Friends, he's full of those things. The sixth one is John 14 verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Friends, he's the way. Are you lost? Go back to the way. He'll show you the way. Are you worried about being deceived? Don't you worry. I am is the truth. And in him is the truth. Are you weakening in your experience? Come back to the great fountain of life. I am the life. He's the inexhaustible fountain of life. Just get yourself back in right relationship with him. Then the final one, John 15 verse 1, the one we've been speaking about. I am the true vine. And he didn't finish it. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He says, abide in me. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask what you will and it shall be done for you. Friends, that's all we need as believers. The prophet says, just keep drinking in. Just keep drawing these resources and just keep pushing out. Just keep pushing out on a daily basis. And you will bring forth, I guarantee you, everything which the I am has determined for you to bring forth. Everything that was in the vine, this great consuming, all-consuming fire that never gets consumed itself. This great unchangeable one. He called you. He commissioned you. He separated you. He forgave you. He's revealed himself to you. But he wants to say to you today, I want to be I am in your life once again. I don't want to be I was. I don't want you just to testify of what I did in the past, although those are wonderful things and should excite your expectation for greater things. But he wants to be the I am. He wants to be the one today that ministers to our situations today. He's more than willing. He's more than able. He's just waiting for us to call him on the scene. He's just waiting for a certain condition of heart. He's just waiting for a certain surrenderedness and yieldedness. And like Moses, coming to the stage that you realize, Lord, your strength is made perfect in my weakness. Because when I am weak, you are strong. Amen. Just getting yourself out the way, casting aside reasonings and all vain imaginations that we can have. Take off your shoes. Draw near to the one that's calling you from the burning bush. The great I am. And he wants to reveal to you and I once again, Moses, don't worry about anything. I am that I am. No matter your circumstances tomorrow, I'm going to be the I am in those circumstances. No matter the bad results that come from the doctor, no matter what they bring up at your review in your job, no matter what you're fearing about your exam results, he's going to be the I am that's going to be with you at that time. That's why Jesus says, take no thought for tomorrow. Just seek today his kingdom and his righteousness, and all those things will take care of themselves. Let's stand, saints. Let's come to a time of worship. He is the great I am. And I'm glad to know him as the I am. But I want to know him more as the I am. And I'm sure that you do as well. Because the more that you know him, the more you want to know him. The more that you trust him, the more that you want to trust him more. So why not just come to him, let's lay it all at his feet, and say, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art strong, Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee.
Just a closer walk with thee.
Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking
close to thee.
Let it be.
Let it be.
Dear Lord, let it be.
Let it be.
Through this world of toils and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When
time for me will be no more. God, guide me gently, safely to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
You know that song says, when this feeble life is over. I don't know if you saw the story. It's a real sad story in a sense of last week. Just this time last week, four young believers in Arizona, Brother McGeary's cousin, Brother Aaron McGeary's cousin, another brother and two sisters they were in courtship with. One is from Germany. I don't know where the other one was from. But they went to church, got up in the morning, had breakfast with their parents. They were all staying together. Went to church, I think, in Flagstaff and in Phoenix. Then in the afternoon, they decided they were going to take a flight in a light aircraft because the brother McGeary had his private license. They were going to fly from Phoenix to Sedona, another place where they wanted to land and go and do some sightseeing. And they flew, came down near Sedona. It was very hot, didn't have opportunity for the plane to turn, crashed in the mountain, all four of them died. They had the memorial service last night. It was very sad. Although, in a way, it's a time of rejoicing as well. But friends, this is a feeble life. Very soon it can be over. The prophet says that may be some of your last breath that's in you that you're breathing now. We don't know. That's why make it right with I am now. Let it be the I am to you now. Don't put it off to tomorrow. Don't wait and say, you know, I'm so busy with the children now. I'm so busy with my studies. Set your house in order now. Because you don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. Make sure you're holding the hand of I am today. Because he's the one who holds the future. And it really ministered to me, that story, because they were such fine believers if you read their lives. One was 24, I think. One was 22, 21. And those two sisters were, I think, 19 and 18. They were in courtship with those two brothers. And God in his wisdom said, that's your time. And it's time for you to come up to me. And he said, come up high. And they went out in a ball of fire the way that they did. And friends, there's a lot of uncertainty in this life. Don't just live it for yourself. Don't trust in yourself. Trust in the great I am. As we come to prayer today, commit yourself into the hands of the great I am. Give yourself to him. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Call upon his name. Let's sing one more song, then we come to a time of prayer.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name.
Glory, glory,
glory to his name.
His precious name.
Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood of thine.
I'm singing
glory to thy name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross,
Where he took me in.
Glory to his name. Glory to his name.
His precious name.
Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied.
I'm singing
glory. His name. Oh, precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. Let Jesus save me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. The blood applied. Glory to His name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge into faith and be made complete. Glory to His name. The blood applied. Glory to His name.
But let's sing one more sense before we pray. I think it's a good thing to do. Let's sing a song, I bless your name. Don't you want to bless His name today? I want to bless His name. It's wonderful to bless His name. And the more you bless His name, the more He expresses His name. That's why it says, put on the garment of praise. And the spirit of heaviness will flee away. Don't allow the devil to press you down. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Let's worship the Lord in the house of the Lord.
With bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas, let's praise at night. And in their bed, began to sing.
Well, sing.
The chains were loosed.
Well, the chains were loosed.
And they were free.
Well, they sang.
I bless your name. Oh, I bless your name. I give you all. I give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way.
Bless
your name. I bless your name. Some midnight hour, if you should find
God bless, bro. Amen.
You're my reach out and pray.
Reach out and pray.
Two hearts are moved.
Defy those chains.
Heavenly Father, Lord, I just call upon Thee because Thou art the great I Am. Thank You that You're the same I Am, Lord, that ministered, Lord, in the day.
Zenith.
Lord. Reach out my faith.
Reach out my faith.
To heights unknown.
To heights unknown.
We'll find. Not alone. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the light. The truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. Let's come to a time of prayer, friends. What's your need? What are you seeking for? Why don't you come to the fountain today? I really say to you on his behalf, he's thirsty to reveal himself further to you. He wants to take you further in your experience. Are you willing to surrender it all to him? Are you willing to lay your soul upon the altar even as we sang about? Are you willing just to come to him and say, Jesus, I want your name to be hallowed in my life, Lord. In the midst of this perverse generation, I want you to reveal yourself. I want you to glorify yourself. Father, let your name be sanctified. Whatever you desire, the best thing to do, you call upon him. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He reveal himself to you. Let's come to a time of prayer. Whatever the Lord lays upon your heart, let's put it before the Lord. Father, we do thank you, Lord. Father, that you've given us access by grace. Father, to the throne of grace. And Lord, we come upon this day just to the throne of mercy. Lord, at your kind invitation, Lord, and by the way of the blood and through the veil. Father, just to present ourselves before thee, Lord.
Not only, Lord Savior, to come from time to time, but to come at all times, Lord Savior. Lord, and allow, Lord, your word, Lord, Father, to have preeminence, Lord, even amidst his life, Lord Savior God. Father Jesus, we ask your grace, Lord Father. Thank thee, Lord Savior, for keeping us, Lord. Father, Lord, and for leading us, Lord. You continue to do so, Father. Provide even as we have need. Lord, Father, as close as we have need.
Let us continue in worship, saints.
Because you have chosen a narrow path, out of sweet, there's a great portion of heaven waiting for you because of what you've decided. That was the prophecy.
Was a prophecy.
The angel told to the great messenger. That is what will produce.
That is what will produce
great victory in the love divine.
I will walk this path in the footsteps of Elohim. I wanna get to the end of time. I will walk this path.
Oh.
In the footsteps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time. That divine love will live. This path has many trials
and many battles
against the enemy. Body's Holy Spirit,
Body's Holy Spirit
will lead us to perfect love.
Oh, there is not much time remaining.
There is not much time remaining.
Oh,
to in this part, we can already hear the chariot.
We can hear the chariots
of our beloved one
coming to meet us. Oh, I will walk this path.
I will walk this path.
In the footsteps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me. Oh, I will walk this path. I will walk this path. In the footsteps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me.
Oh, the divine love will live in me. That divine love will live in me. What's at the end of the path, friends? Peace in the valley. Aren't you looking forward to that? You can have peace in your soul now because you have the Prince of Peace. Let him come in. He's Jehovah Shalom. But at the end, all the battles will be finished. Close the Bibles for the last time. We'll take the sword, put it in the sheath. They'll beat, what does it say? Their swords into plowshares. Man shall learn war no more. No more bloodshed, no more sorrow. Because the Prince of Peace will come and sort it all out. And I'm glad that I know him, and I'm sure you're glad that you know him today. Let's sing about peace in the valley.
Well, I'm tired and so weary, must go alone till the Lord comes and calls me away. Oh, yes. Well, the morning is bright and the Lamb is alive. And the night is fair as the day. Oh, yes.
Whoa,
there'll be peace in the valley for me.
Oh,
someday there'll be peace in the valley for me. Oh, Lord, I pray there'll be no sadness, no sorrow, trouble of fear. There'll be peace in the valley for me. Oh, yes. There the flowers will be blooming, and the grass will be green, and the skies will be clear and serene. Oh, yes. Well, the star never beams in the valley of dreams. And the clouds, they will ever be seen. Oh, yes,
oh, yes,
there'll be peace in the valley for me.
Oh,
someday there'll be peace in the valley for me. Oh, Lord, I pray there'll be no sadness, no sorrow, trouble I see. There'll be peace in the valley for me. Oh, yes. Well, the bear will be gentle,
oh, and the
wolf will be tame,
and the lion shall lay down by the lamb.
Oh, yes.
Well, the beasts from the wild shall be led by little child. I'll be changed in the creature that I am. Oh, yes. There'll be peace in the valley for me. Someday there'll be peace in the valley for me. Oh, Lord, I pray. No sadness, no sorrow, trouble of sea. There'll be peace in the valley for me. Oh yes.
Just two announcements. We'll just want to worship one more song. We'll close in prayer. But next Saturday is communion service. Next Saturday evening, we skipped 1 month communion, so let's have communion. I thought it was good to skip because it can become common with people. You start taking it for granted and so forth. But let's come in His name. And we'll be blessed if we come in His name. Let's prepare ourselves this week to come to partake of the wine and the bread. To remember that this great I Am became flesh. And He died and He bled and He shed His blood to redeem us. So that He can come and dwell inside of us. So that's communion on Saturday evening. Next Sunday is a baptism service as well. If there's anybody else who's looking for baptism in His name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone looking for baptism next Sunday, it's a baptism service. Please contact me or one of the deacons. Let me know and we'll arrange. It'll be Sunday after service. Let's sing the song, Ancient Words. Aren't you glad for the ancient words, friends? The prophet says, question, how can I get closer to the Lord? Pray more and read your Bible more. It's so simple, friends, but it always works. The Bible's your roadmap. And the message is our end time commentary for us to understand what this word really means. Friend, how wonderful that it is that God has given us His word. And His word is that heaven and earth will pass away, but His word will never pass away. It's just as applicable. It's just as real. It's just as virtuous. It's just as powerful today as it ever has been. Your Bible's waiting for you, friends. Why not spend more time in your Bible this week and see how God will bless you?
Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us grow. In this world where every room, ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Ancient words,
ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Holy words of our faith, handed down to this age, came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Ancient words,
ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Ancient words,
ever true,
changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Let's sing one final one. We ask Brother Max, would you mind come to close for us in prayer? Let's sing that song, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." It's so sweet, friends. Don't you want that? Don't you want to put away your worries and your cares and your anxieties? Come to him. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the lily of the valley. They crush it and they make that which sedates you from the cares of this world. Let's sing and then we ask Brother Max to close.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge in neath the healing cleansing blood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, hope for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self-defeat, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace.
Oh, Jesus,
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I've learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that thou art with me, will be with me till the end.
Oh,
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust thee, how I more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, hope for grace to trust him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, hope for grace to trust him more.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Dear Heavenly Father.
Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you this afternoon.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Lord, we came here this morning.
Oh, Lord.
And Father, you have blessed us.
Amen, Lord. Amen.
Father, we came here with our various expectations.
Yes, Lord.
We came here with our different needs. But Lord, we are going unified by your word.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Father, we know that, yes, Lord, what we have heard,
amen,
we pray that, Lord, it will be established in us.
Yes, Lord.
We pray that, Lord, it will be engrafted in our hearts.
Amen.
Because as we go over there, we know the devil is there.
Amen.
To challenge what we have heard and believed.
Yes.
But Lord, yes, we know he can never take it away from us.
Amen.
Because we came here with only 5 loaves and 2 fishes.
Yes.
But Lord, we have eaten.
Amen.
Eating,
hallelujah,
and eating.
Yes.
Overflowing.
Oh Lord.
That even what remaining, Lord, we cannot have room to keep them.
Yes, Lord.
Lord Jesus, this word that we have heard. Lord, even if we have limited your name,
yes, Lord,
today we know that your name is not limited.
Amen. Hallelujah.
As much as, Lord, we believe,
yes,
in you,
Lord, yes,
we will see your name, O God.
Amen.
And so whatever the enemy will, hallelujah, try to bring against us,
yes,
we know there is a name that overcomes it.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes, Christ. Lord. Yes, Lord.
Lord, we thank you. We bless you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
For strengthening us, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Father, we thank you once again, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
You brought our pastor, yes, back.
Amen. Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, Father, we have, amen, been blessed this morning.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, we
thank
want
you,
to remember,
Lord, good,
our precious brother Vegas.
Yes, Lord.
This weekend.
Amen. Yes,
today,
Lord.
Week,
bless
Father,
you,
we
Lord,
ask
you,
for your generosity.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes,
to
Lord.
Be back with us here, Lord.
Amen.
Father, as many that, Lord Jesus, all stand before you this morning.
Amen.
Lord, your word, it has been great unto our lives.
Oh, Lord.
Father, let us carry these blessings with us.
Yes, Lord.
And let the fruits of it, O God, be seen in our lives.
Amen.
That we have a God who changes lives.
Yes, Lord.
That as much as,
hallelujah,
we believe in him,
yes,
he will grant us a name.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, for this word.
Yes, Lord.
I,
yes,
personally, Lord,
Lord,
have been blessed so much,
oh
God.
Oh, Lord.
Father,
thank
we
you,
thank
Lord,
you that, Lord,
thank
you,
Lord,
are in control.
Hallelujah.
Father, once again, amen, we want to remember our brethren in Ukraine.
Hallelujah.
Lord,
amen.
Let your mighty hand of,
yes, Lord, yes, Lord,
Lord,
please, Lord.
They have been, we've been caught in crossfires.
Yes.
But Lord, we know your spirit will always be the standard.
You watch over them, yes, Lord.
And our brethren,
yes, Lord,
in Israel also, Lord.
Amen.
Father,
hallelujah.
They are in your hands,
God. Amen.
You know that no one can defeat them.
Yes.
Because we are the children of God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, for this afternoon.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
we bless,
Lord,
you, Lord, for your word, O God.
Amen.
As we live, O God,
hallelujah,
we know we are not living in your presence.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Let this word that we have heard and believe,
yes, Lord,
continue with us even back to our crosses, Lord.
Amen.
Grant each and everyone generosity to,
please,
back,
Lord,
to where, Lord, we have come from. Amen. And once again, Lord, the week is in your hands.
Yes.
As we have entered a new week, Lord, you have made these days all that we must rejoice and be glad in them.
Amen.
Father, continue blessing us, Lord.
Please,
with your,
Lord,
word. We ask all this, Lord, in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We pray with all thanksgiving.
Amen. 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 God bless you, brother. Thank you so much, brother. Let's finish with that song, Justified, Justified. God bless you. May the Lord bless you in the week that lays before communion service on Saturday and baptism on Sunday. Amen. Alone and wondering about what I'm supposed to do. I can't deny, yes, I've made mistakes, I can't hide from him, he knew. But I knew that deep within my soul I felt sorry, honest I do. So I just cried and said, forgive me, Lord, forgive me again, will you? Justified, justified. You have not done it in the first place, you're justified. Justified, justified. You have not done it in the first place, you're justified. So often I'm discouraged when I count the times I fall, 'cause he promised I'd be victorious when I know I'm not at all. Then I heard an eagle scream, its voice quickened my soul.
You said you've not done it in the first place. You're justified.
Hallelujah.
Justified. Justified. You have not done it in the first place. You're justified. 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 You have not done it in the first place. You're justified. He looked at your perfect picture without blame, spot or wrinkle. He didn't look at you where you are now. He looked from eternity. He said you're just trapped in that body. You bypassed your theophany. You have not done it in the first place. You're justified.
Hallelujah.
Justified. Justified. You have not done it in the first place. You're justified. Justified. Justified.
You have not done it in the first place. You justified. Oh, I'm justified. 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 You have not done it in the first place. You justified.